And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient mysteries and modern mysteries and metaphysical topics. Today we're going to get practical and down to earth and talk about marketing, how to market your New Age service or product. And I've invited an expert on the show. Her name is Erin Donnelly. She has a background of 8 years in marketing with radio and is currently marketing at New Renaissance Bookstore, which is the largest New Age bookstore here in Portland. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. It's going to be really exciting.
I agree.
You know, on my journey in metaphysics, going to psychic fairs and all of these festivals, I always run into people, and they either have a little cottage business, maybe they sell crystals on a website, or they're a yoga teacher or a tarot card reader, and they just can't get enough clients. So that's why I've invited you here. Can you help us?
Oh, most definitely I can help. But this is a really passionate topic for me, and I think the timing is so good for so many of these people to have their businesses really start to thrive.
Okay, so obviously you can go in a lot of different directions in marketing. What got you passionate in the New Age community and advertising?
Well, I come from a sales and marketing background in radio, so I learned a lot of the basics of advertising in those 8 years, and I was able to work with a lot of different businesses and really kind of get the gist, to get the practical stuff. And from there, I started becoming really interested in growing spiritually myself and learning about energy work and alternative healing. And as I ventured out, the advertising that I came in contact with and the people that I came in contact with, I just had a hard time with the way they were presenting themselves. And I was, quite honestly, a little bit embarrassed to tell people that I was wanting to dabble in this. So I thought, wow, what if I could take all this practical stuff that I've learned here in radio and take it to the metaphysical New Age community where it is really needed and start, you know, bridging practical with creative and spiritual and giving a whole new fresh face to advertising. What if I could do that? And I saw that there was definitely a need and a lot of enthusiasm for it. So my mission right now is to help businesses grow by teaching creative and spiritual ways to view their marketing.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us, the people I've talked to, have a very haphazard methodology for marketing. We just kind of try different things 1 month and try the other. And one thing I do know about advertising is you really have to be consistent. You can't just kind of bounce around. So why do you think so often people dread like the marketing aspect of their business?
You know, it's so interesting. For people who have, you know, developed these businesses, a lot of times, you know, they were called to do this work or they're just really operating from their heart center. So to get into money and marketing and putting themselves out there hoping to get something in return, it's almost like a conflict of interest for them, and it can feel really kind of tainted. I think any time there's money involved, we go back to a lot of preconceived ideas about money is the root of all evil, and, you know, rich people only got to the top by doing, you know, sleazy, dishonest things. And,
sure.
You know, so I think we fall into a lot of these old thought patterns that now we can really shed, because a lot of these people's services, they're needed. So it is time for people to really fine-tune this. And, you know, the advertising that we see every day, it sometimes is very fear-evoking, and it feels dishonest, feels like I'm being controlled. And I think in people on the spiritual path and doing this work is that we worry that we're going to contribute to that, but in reality, we don't have to.
Absolutely. So how can people shift their attitude or their perspective on marketing and take on a new identity and a new methodology?
Well, it starts with them. You know, it starts with the business owner, whether you're in, and I don't care what business you're in, you have to find a really clear, concise way to talk about what you do. And that's a difficult thing for metaphysical people, you know, because a lot of this stuff, it's like, oh, Lord, this is so big. Where do I begin?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find one sentence that is clear and concise that you can tell people about what you do. But it's not so much about what you do, it's about how it benefits other people. Like I said earlier, that, you know, my goal in this is that I help businesses grow by teaching creative and spiritual ways to view marketing. Bam, one sentence. So when people say, you know, that's the most common question, oh, what do you do for a living? That's what I tell them. You know, instead of, oh, I sell radio advertising, you know, I used to say, I help people grow their businesses by showing them how to use radio as a marketing tool. You know, it's finding a clear, crisp way to talk about what you do. It starts there. And if you have enthusiasm for what you do, which I really get that most people in the metaphysical world do, enthusiasm sells. And if you're coming from a genuine place, man, people are going to want to hear about what you do.
You know, that's a really good idea to just have one power sentence, because when you're at a cocktail party, that's all people actually want, is like kind of like one big descriptive sentence, and then they can either pursue it further or not at that point.
Absolutely. Right? Then you start finding out, who's my audience? Who is interested? You know, and you leave it at one sentence if it's appropriate, or you go on if there's some interest.
Absolutely. So how can marketing become like a creative and spiritual type of venture?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really key, because so many of us in this industry, we're really creative types, and we're also very spiritual people. So advertising feels very like, I don't know, like cut and dry and money. So let's start bringing some creative aspects of this. And anyone who is an artist of any kind knows, like, for instance, you know, I paint and draw. And every single time I sit down with a fresh canvas, I always have a clear idea of what I want to create. But when I start creating it, it takes on a life of itself. And the colors that I wanted to use suddenly shift. The images shift. Everything shifts. And you go on this venture. And you succumb to it, because that's what creativity is all about. So that's how we have to start viewing marketing, that it's not something we just put out and get immediate results exactly as we had envisioned. You plant the seed and you take the journey, and you have to start viewing it from that perspective. And how we can also make it a spiritual venture is that, you know, a lot of times we are depending on the media or something to deliver us results, but you know what? This is when we can really start tapping into our intuition, calling on our spirit guides, calling on God. I don't care who your higher power is. That has been a really key part for me in finding the right words. Help me to find the right words. Help me to find the right way to project what I do so it can benefit someone else.
Right. The angels, sometimes they just wait to be asked, and then they will jump in and help. And it's smart to think of it not as a drudge or an assignment, but like you said, a creative art project.
Yes.
That sounds better.
It really does. It's all in, how you approach it.
Okay, so what about, let's say, the people around you, family and friends and perhaps even customers? How can they help out, or should you be doing this as a solo project?
Well, I think that's the problem, is that so many people, you know, they're small business owners. They've created this business on their own, so they think that they have to cover all the aspects of their business, but really, your customers and your family and your friends can be terrific resources. And, you know, I write a weekly column for New Renaissance Bookshop, reviewing all the different books that have come out and the different paths. And as I'm writing these things, I always go back to, like, you know, like my family who's on the East Coast that's not exposed to all this stuff, will they really understand what I'm talking about? And oftentimes I'll call my mom up and say, Mom, can I read this to you? Do you understand what this means when I'm talking about chakras or kundalini? And she'll say, no, I don't know what in the world that is. You know, so I think, like, okay, I need to find a better way to explain this, because more people are interested in this kind of stuff. So how can I talk about this in a more clear way? Mm-hmm. So my family's been a terrific resource for me, and even also in helping me choose my audience. You know, I was back in Virginia visiting my father, and I was trying to tell some of his friends who are, you know, really kind of conservative people, not in this world, you know, this metaphysical world. I was trying to talk to them about what I do, and my dad just pulled me aside and he said, you know, Air, you got to learn to choose your audience. You know, don't waste your time talking to people who aren't going to get it. Find the people who will. You know, so I think friends and family can really give you a dose of reality. When you put an ad together, find some of your friends that don't know anything about what you do. Ask them to look at it and say, does any of this not make sense to you? Am I talking, like, you know,
over your head.
Which parts of this, you know, you don't understand. And I think that's really important. And also, you know, talk to your customers. We think we know how people are benefiting from our services or products, but when you learn from your customers exactly what they got from it, then that's when your advertising can really start to shape, and you could start saying, this is what I offer. This is what my customers are experiencing.
So family and friends, use them as a sounding board.
Absolutely. You know, just don't take it all on yourself and, you know, like, put your ego aside. Get ready for it. Criticism is good. Ask them for it.
Okay, definitely. Now, what about using family and friends? Like, let's say your friend is an artist, or you have a, you know, a relative who's an artist, you know, like kind of bringing them in for consultation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been really kind of intimidating for me at first. You know, I'm an artist here in Portland, and I'm just, I don't know anything about building a website. I don't know anything about putting together business cards. And you just start asking people. You ask your friends. You ask your family. It's amazing how people will really come out of the woodwork to help you. Again, especially when you have that genuine enthusiasm for what you want to create, people want to support that.
Right. Well, there's a movie called 6 Degrees of Separation, and we all know someone who knows someone who's an expert at something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's true to use those contacts. Now, I know I've talked with you before, and you say there's an untapped market of customers in the New Age community that we could start to target. Why don't you talk about this untapped market?
Yeah, I would love to, Mike, because this is a super passionate topic for me. And what I've really seen, I've been at New Renaissance for about a little over a year now, and I'm seeing a whole flood of new people come in. I mean, our business is up tremendously from these people who are coming in, and they're wanting to learn about all the different spiritual paths, and they're wanting to learn about different healing modalities and, you know, all of this stuff. But we, in the metaphysical, you know, world, we have been kind of preaching to the choir. We're talking to the people all the time who understand our terminology, and we're not realizing that there's this whole group of people that want to learn. So especially in our advertising, we need to start speaking in plain English to these people. And they're people who are just like me. You know, I was 8 years in the corporate world, really driven to make money, and all of a sudden I just realized, like, oh, Lord, you know, what is my potential in the world? What am I meant to do? How can I grow spiritually without having to go to, like, a church? You know, and I had all these questions. And there are so many people just like me who come into New Renaissance all the time. They're dropping some serious dough on products. I mean, these people have money to spend, and we're not finding the best ways to communicate to them of how we can be of service to them. So, you know, so many of my friends have, you know, they're not going to the hospital for births anymore. They're hiring doulas. You know, they're tapping into their subconscious to lose weight. You know, they're wanting to study shamanism, but they don't understand what that means. You know, I had a friend the other day that told me someone offered them a soul retrieval, and they wondered if that was like an exorcism. You know, so we need to really be gentle with these people and realize that, you know what, things are shifting. They're wanting our services. They're excited about learning. We need to start speaking their language. And it's funny, my brother actually coined this term, but I'm taking credit for it from now on, is that he calls them the meta-curious.
I like that.
I love that, too, because it's a perfect way to describe who these people are. And it is huge. You know, I would say, you know, our business at New Renaissance is, you know, sometimes up almost like 40%, and these are all new faces. So I'm really excited about the potential and seeing, you know, how people are going to be able to grow when we're able to speak to them in more clear ways.
So I guess, you know, traditionally most of us have been advertising in New Age magazines. So what you might be saying is go ahead and go to a regular magazine in the community and speak in plain English and offer your service.
I don't think it would hurt at all. I think I think they're looking for it, especially, you know, like corporate America is starting to realize that people aren't wanting to work up the corporate ladder so much. They're there for experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like everything is starting to shift where we're starting to want to see messages of like, wow, how can I maximize my potential? How can I do all these things, but yet still operate as a normal person? We don't have to go meditate on a mountain in India for 20 years. I want to be in this world. I want to be able to do this stuff, living my normal, everyday life like a regular person, you know?
Sure, absolutely. So let me, if you could maybe point out one main thing that an advertiser must do to start attracting new clients, where would you start?
Let's see. You know, I think the very most important thing that they could do is that they can stop in their advertising talking about what they do and start focusing on how it benefits the people that they are targeting.
Uh-huh.
That's just the thing. I mean, and that's a really common thing that we naturally do when we're talking about our services is it's about us. It's about us. You know, when I was sending an email out today asking people to listen to the show and talking about some of my workshops and my services, my first sign was, I would love if you could come to these things or listen. And then I thought, wait a minute, sure, I would love it. Are people ultimately going to get out of it? You know, so I had to change that to like, wow, there's a lot of new information out there. Things are really shifting. I want you to be aware of some of the new opportunities out there, you know, if any of these pique your interest. Things like that. You know, it's not about us. It's about them. So that is the one thing that advertisers really need to start shifting is, you know, and it can't be like a fear-based message to invoke fear like, oh, gosh, I need these people. I think empowering messages are really – empowering and positive messages are really what seems to be effective in this, you know, day and age.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to the Odyssey Radio Show, and my guest is Erin Donnelly. She's a marketing expert. Now, are you available by phone, since we have a nationwide audience, for consultation of a small business perhaps?
Yes, I am. I'm really excited to kind of be starting a new business. I've found that there aren't many people who, you know, are sort of marketing experts in the New Age spiritual metaphysical niche. And there's so many people that move to Portland and, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, and they're popping up all over the world and all over the country. There are people who want to, you know, do massage and naturopathic medicine, and these schools aren't teaching practical creative or spiritual approaches to marketing.
Really, yeah. Now, did you want to give out a number or website or what kind of?
Absolutely, yeah. My website is a combination of my art and some of the spiritual and business work that I'm doing, and it's donleyart.com, donleyart.com, and I can be reached at erin@donleyart.com, and that's Erin with an E.
Okay, awesome. So let's move on with our conversation. What would you say about, like, expectations? Do we need to kind of shift them when dealing with a marketing campaign? What should our expectation be?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, even though we're sort of, you know, spiritually minded people, we still fall into this same thing of, like, we want instant results.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we need to realize our first expectation is that we're just planting some seeds out there with our advertising and nothing is going to be immediate. And, you know, we're bombarded as a society with over 3,000 messages, advertising messages a day.
Wow.
I mean, that is just a lot. And, you know, so really people need to hear or see your ad a minimum of, like, they say like 5 times before they'll even really notice it. So we need to realize, you know, that we have to have realistic expectations in what we're putting out there. Nothing is immediate. You know, like you said, consistency and long-term advertising is the only way to be successful. You have to start building a synergy out there, putting it, you know, finding, you know, with networking and ads or whatever. It's just building this whole synergy. And, you know, we have to stop coming from this place of desperation in our marketing and really view it as inspiration rather than desperation. And
so, you know, sometimes like when I advertise for tarot, what I used to do was, you know, kind of put one big ad out there and that was it for the week, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. It has to be out every week.
It does. It takes a lot of time. And, you know, I saw this all the time in radio. Someone would say, well, I'll try it for a week, and I would have to say, like, you're throwing your money out
absolutely
the window.
Yeah.
You know, this we can't, you know, run out on the street and expect to run a marathon right now.
No.
You know, you have to start somewhere, and you've got to build up to it. Advertising is the exact same thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about money and budgeting. How much should a small business, you know, allot for a marketing budget?
Yeah, you know, this is really tough, and it's tough to swallow to think about this and figure out, you know, sort of the money side of all of this. That's the intimidating part for a lot of people, but you know, in a minimum way, I think that you should take about 10 to 15% of your expense budget and allot that to advertising. You know, put it in a separate bank account and just say, like, this is the money I'm using to grow my business or to put my service out there. You know, you have to have a really clear separate budget that is allotted to this because, you know, like the $500, the $200, whatever, it'll all just start adding up, and you have to set it aside in the year and really plan, I think, you know, and to say, this is my money that is dedicated to this.
Mm-hmm. And keep track of it because it's a write-off. I mean,
for sure, yeah.
You know, it just all that mileage and stuff, I know a lot of us hate to do that, but we really do need some basic notation.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Mike? It feels good, too. I mean, it doesn't feel so good when we get organized and pay our bills and all that stuff. I mean, it feels good to market your business, too. It's kind of the same feel.
Well, it feels like being an adult.
Exactly.
You know, growing up. But so let me ask you about, let's say somebody has a seminar they want to promote and they want to work with the media to get some attention. How would they go about that?
Well, you know, it's kind of different now, and it was interesting, my last few years in radio, things really changed a lot, and, you know, as we know, you know, everything is consolidated, and there used to be 15 independent radio stations, and now there are 3 radio groups, you know, and, you know, DJs used to be able to say, hey, that, you know, local mom-pa restaurant down the street is my favorite. Hey, shout out to you guys. But now they're being paid by Olive Garden for endorsements.
You know,
so you just, you can't count on the media to support you in the ways that they used to. But you can count on them to work with you in certain ways. So, you know, you just have to kind of get creative about it. Like, for instance, one of my clients said to me, I want to have my own radio show on, you know, the FM dial, or I want to, you know, be able to be like a morning show psychic, you know, in like one of the FM morning shows. And she said, I'll do it for free. And I thought, and I said to her, well, here's the thing, is that not only will you do it for free, but you might have to pay them to have your own show.
Wow.
You know, it's just, things have changed in that way. They're not so much out there seeking talent. Talent is coming into the media and, you know, paying to be on the radio. And I said, what you have to do is that if you want to be a morning show psychic, the bottom line is you have to find a way for this radio station to make money based on, you know, having you on air. So what that would mean is that, say the radio station is out at the local Volkswagen dealership that day, you know, giving out concert tickets, whatever, having some representation at the car dealership. They can say, hey, come see local psychic whoever at this dealership, you know, to get a little insight on your life. That's going to drive the consumer out to the business. The business realizes that the radio advertising was effective, and it's also effective marketing for the psychic. So if you can find ways to help media outlets make money, that's how you're going to get in the door.
So that should be part of your business proposal right up front, you know, what you can do for them to help them make money.
It's all about them.
Yeah, it's all about them. So, well, I mean, let's talk about, let's say you want to approach the local newspapers. I know that they always run listings of free events. How about doing things like that or getting a PR type of article written?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the best kind of media to use right now, I would say, for metaphysical, spiritual, alternative healing is still print, you know, and there are so many niche newspapers, like we were mentioning earlier. You know, there are lots of New Age publications and, you know, most West Coast cities at least, and I still think those are really effective tools for marketing. But again, a lot of people aren't marketing the right way in it, so you have an opportunity to really stand out in those. But aside from that, you know, a lot of the people who do, you know, this kind of work, they can write articles for those publications, and I think that that poses them as an expert in a unique fashion. You know, online is really key for a lot of people. You know, I definitely count that as a source of media. So, Yeah, you know, a lot of those, like, event boards and things like that, I mean, it's good. I mean, I would think, yeah, you should do it. But, you know, a lot of the times there's, even still with, like, big media outlets, they're highlighting their advertisers first. You know, you definitely just don't have priority there. So it's good to get, you know, I would rather focus on the niche print publications. And, you know, slowly venturing out. Like, for instance, if you want to be in, like, the Oregonian, you know, like the local main newspaper, you know, instead of just sending them something saying, I'm having a baby massage clinic in Northwest Portland, make it a press release, like it's a news story, like the secret to baby's happiness is found in Northwest Portland. You know, that's a news story. That's going to gain their attention, and they'll be thankful that you just made their job a little easier. So it's kind of like turning your work into, like, how does this become entertainment? How does this become something that's fascinating to people?
Mm-hmm. But like I said, with the newspapers, a lot of times the community events are free, correct, if you just contact them ahead of time?
Yeah.
You can get in their bulletin board, but like you said, they won't really play it up.
No, they're not going to play it up. And a lot of times, you know, those bulletin boards, I mean, working as, you know, in sales and radio, I wanted to make sure my clients were top on those boards,
sure,
you know, because they were paying good money to be on the station. I wanted them to, you know, really have their marketing work for them in using radio. So they do get priority. Mm-hmm. So you just got to know, sure, send it in. It's again, staying focused, and it's planting a seed, but don't expect too much out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me some good ideas on how a print ad, like a really good layout, would look to attract a customer.
Well, yeah, this kind of stuff is really, I'm starting to get a lot more clear on how these should look, and there's all different, you know, ideas about design, but I think what is most important is it's got to be really simple. And I really like to tell my clients to choose three bullet points on how people benefit from what they do and make those three bullet points very, very clear.
Oh.
And, you know, I think, like, if you're doing some kind of healing work or one-on-one kind of personal work, I think it is important to have your picture in, you know, the ad.
Yes.
But so many of these people in the metaphysical world are still using these, like, glamour shot things, you know, from 1980.
Got to be realistic.
Come on. Yeah, I want to see what you look like, you know. And I don't want to see this, like, cheesy white light behind your head. You know, show me how you look. I want to work with a real person.
Okay.
You know, so I think that, you know, that's another good way to start, you know, fine-tuning your ad. Have a really sharp picture of yourself. And, you know, a lot of times people want to list all of their titles, and they want to talk about, like, a million ways that, you know, their services benefit, or all the different modalities.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who's new to all this stuff, if I'm looking at that and I see that they do, you know, Reiki, pranic healing, shamanism, they're a minister, they're an acupuncturist, I'm just like, well, I don't know what to choose, and I don't know what some of that stuff is. I'm not sure if they're going to use that on me. I don't know what that means. There's no way I'm calling this person. So I think getting really clear and just saying, like, this is the one modality I'm going to advertise is a really good idea.
That makes a lot of sense because it gets overwhelming. Like, when you go to a restaurant, and if they have 200 things on the menu, it's like, oh, forget it. It's just like, it's way too much.
So,
you know,
true.
So, like you said, three bullet points would be as much as people are going to read when they quickly see your ad.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? This is so important. Thanks for bringing this up, is that think about how you look at ads. When you open the paper, you're just, you know, you give it maybe a glance.
A glance.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So think about, you know, what yours is going to be like to other people. And also, you know, another thing is that we always say that, you know, you want to know if your advertising's working. And, you know, a lot of times, like, you'll put an ad in the paper and then you ask people when they call, well, how did you hear about me? You know, a lot of times, we don't remember how we hear about these people. I don't know. Was it from my Aunt Susie, or was it from the neighbor, or did I see it? Did I hear it? I don't know. I'm not paying that close of attention. So don't try to, like, you know, be so anal about tracking your advertising. Just put it out there and make it clear.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And they just want to get right to business anyway.
Yeah.
When they call you. They don't want to take a marketing survey. So tell me, like, what are the classic mistakes people make when they advertise that just ends up kind of wasting their money?
Well, I mean, you see it everywhere. You know, there's a lot of fear-based advertising. Like, if you don't buy this, you know, that you'll get fatter or whatever, you know.
The diet industry, sure.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many cliches, family owned and operated for 20 years, you know, like, I don't really care anymore. Like, what does it mean to me?
Yeah.
You know, or people say, like, this is the best service, you know, in Portland. No, it's not. You know, don't, you know, make yourself bigger than you are. Just talk about how you help people. And, you know, again, people put way too much information. They put unclear pictures or, you know, a lot of people who are writing, like, you know, emails, like, you know, people who have, like, email updates or whatever, they're just going on and on with these long, everyone, like, wants to talk at length, but, you know, we're a fast-moving society. People aren't paying attention. And when they see over and over that your ad is just so crowded and so much information, they're not going to give it the time of day.
Right. And it's funny about the word sale. I mean, it almost means nothing nowadays. I think if you put sale in your ad, you should really mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You know, we're really skeptical of advertising right now. You know, we kind of lump it in with, like, the government or whatever, you know.
And politics, yeah.
So
I have a friend who owns a store, and she said, if I put 10% on sale, that doesn't mean anything. It's nothing until you get to 20, is what she told me. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I would agree. I mean, again, think about how you act as a consumer.
10 is nothing to me.
10 is nothing to me either, you know. I want to see 25 to 30, and then, hey.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about, like, all the competition out there? Let's say you do massage, and there's lots of people doing massage in your community. I mean, how can you break out of the pack and kind of be special and unique?
Well, you know, I mean, I just think you need to embrace your competition, you know, and don't view it as competition. I mean, I would view it as like, man, this is great that there are so many massage therapists in this town, because now more and more people can get a taste of how great it is to have a massage,
mm-hmm.
and can really feel it. And, you know, if all of the massage therapists can start networking together, they could start referring, you know. I mean, they can only take so many customers, you know. And so it's just so good to work with each other. You know, there's this one woman who is a tarot reader at New Renaissance, and she comes to all these events that we have there. And I said to her, but you know about all this stuff. You know about these modalities. Like, why are you coming to these events? And she said, well, you know, I'm not an expert at all this stuff. I know what I'm good at, and I want to be the best resource for my clients. So I want to learn who's doing all this work out there so I can tell my clients, you know, who the best people to go to in town. And that's when you start building a really fruitful business, when you're referring other people in the community and you're not just being the one who can cure all.
Right, and she's handing out her cards there and talking to people, so she's planting seeds.
Absolutely.
That's a really good idea. Just this whole networking concept, like, let's say, for instance, you have a friend who does Reiki and you do massage. Like, what if you said, like, well, my clients will refer to you, and you give them 25% off, and you do the same to me, or something like that?
Something like that, absolutely. You know, I mean, I get massages, and I get acupuncture, and I sometimes go to a medical intuitive. You know, like, they can all start working together. You know, your acupuncturist can say, boy, I really think you can, you know, benefit from having a massage. Here's one of my good friends that does some really great work. You know, so I just think that we can all start working together on this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have another friend who does facials and skincare, and what he does at night is goes out to art galleries and auctions where people with money hang around, and he likes this stuff anyway, so it's not being a phony. And then he just mingles and hands out his card. You know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the best examples I've seen of, you know, really, like, smart marketing and genuine marketing was this woman who was a massage therapist, and She came into New Renaissance, and we worked really hard there. We're on our feet for 9 hours and, you know, running around. And she looked at us, and she said, "Ladies, it's so clear how hard you work at this store and that you're on your feet for 9 hours a day." And she said, "Boy, do you know how beneficial a massage would be to you, you know, say every 6 weeks. Here's my card. You know, I would love to be able to, you know, treat you to a little pampering that you clearly deserve."
Wow.
You know, I just thought, man, that's the way to do it. That's the way to speak about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about her. It was about us, you know?
The benefits. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's our key theme, I think, for this interview. Now, let's say someone really doesn't have much money. I mean, are there any methods that are real inexpensive forms of advertising or just getting creative, or what can you recommend?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think that there are lots of really interesting ways that they can approach it. Like, for instance, you know, make a list of everyone that you do business with. You know, your favorite grocery store, your favorite herb store, your favorite whatever. And send them, you know, a card in the mail saying, "Boy, I love your store. You know, I'm a loyal customer of yours, and I would just like to let you know what I do. I think it would be a benefit to you in this way. Just wanted you to, you know, have an idea of the work that I do, or have my business card or whatever." And you know what, if I was a business owner and I opened that little card in the mail, I thought, "Oh, wow, look at this. This is one of our customers." Again, it plants a seed, and you're making a connection. So I think networking is the best way to inexpensively, talk about what you do. You know, my dad told me just this great story about how this guy, you can just kind of get tricky and creative with it. Like, this guy is a real estate broker, and every time he travels, he's the first one on the airplane, and he slides a business card in a bunch of the different seats randomly. And on the back of his business card, he writes on it, like, "Paul, this is one of the best brokers I've ever worked with. This guy's made me tons of money. You got to check him out."
There you go.
So as if someone left a business card there and thought, oh, you know? And so I think, like, you can start just never leave your house without your business cards, and just hand them out, you know, graciously, and not like you're shoving them into people's, you know, hands. And if you see, there are tons of community bulletin boards. Always put your cards and your flyers up there. Always have them with you. You know, there are some great email, like we have here, Auntie Mo and Friends, which is a great service that's sent out once a month that lists all the events going on. You know, find out, you know, in your town, if there are any services like that, or even Craigslist is really good. They have that in every city.
That's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
If anything from selling your car, you know, to getting a job as a psychic or something, you know, go to Craigslist. And, you know, they have a huge bulletin board that's really active.
Yeah, it's so true. I know. At the column that I write for New Renaissance, I thought, wow, I wonder if I put a listing to have people sign up for the column on Craigslist. And 1 week I had 25 people sign up, you know, and so that was really, that was free.
Yeah, really powerful website, absolutely. So what about the business owner who's maybe been doing it a while and they're kind of burning out? How can they avoid that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it is just, you got to find a way to keep it all really fresh. And, you know, it can be really tiring owning your own business because you're just putting out so much energy in the world, you know, of all the details you really take on yourself. And, you know, the owner of New Renaissance, Darlene, told me one of the most powerful things. She said, you know, owning this business is a lot of work. And she said, and I always feel like, she said, for years I felt like I had to put out all this energy. She said, but then I realized if I can just get up every morning and tap in and connect to the flow of energy and, you know, visualize myself just kind of like diving into this river where it all flows, and then I just like take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. She said it's really helped me not feel like I need to put out the energy, but I'm actually just flowing with it. And that was one of the most powerful things I've ever heard, and I thought it was just so important for whatever you do for a living. You know, we're all busy. We all have family and friends and everything.
Right. Now, let me ask you, I call it the subway question, okay?
Okay.
The subway, you know, they click your little card and you do it 10 times and you get a free sandwich. I mean, is that an annoyance? Do people really do it, or should businesses do something like that?
I think it's great. I mean, not everyone, you know, will keep that card with them and, you know, get it punched every time, but I certainly go to the sushi place down from New Renaissance and have them stamp my card, and I love it when I get the free $10 sushi, you know? And
okay.
So, yeah.
Just don't do it too many times, right? Like maybe 7 to 10 times at the most, probably.
Yeah.
And so it's not too long of a time people have to wait. Now, what about referrals? Like, you know, if you bring in a friend, I'll give you a free product or something. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I like it. I mean, I think anything is worth trying. You know, but see, here's the thing, though, with a lot of this kind of metaphysical, spiritual healing stuff, it's really like personal stuff. And a lot of times people don't want to really talk about it with their friends.
Okay.
You
so
know,
maybe
like,
if it's more like a product, like let's say you sell herbal teas or something.
Yeah.
Then maybe it might work better.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, I guess I can say I don't love that idea.
No? Okay. Yeah, I've never tried it. I'm just curious. I know some people use it. So I guess word of mouth is really the best, don't you think?
I mean, you know what? It really is. And, I mean, like I said, if you have genuine enthusiasm for what you do, that will spread, you know. And when your customers know that you're passionate about what you do, I mean, there's nothing better than working with someone who loves their job, you know. And, like, for instance, you know, at New Renaissance, we have staff meditation every Wednesday morning, and we get paid to go to it. Do you know how many people I've told that to? And that makes that place seem so cool. You know, people want to work there, and they want to come in, you know? So it's like your customers and your employees can be your best resources for advertising.
Absolutely. Now, nowadays, do you really feel that a professional, polished website is just a must? I mean, you really have to have it. I mean, there's a lot of cheesy websites out there that look really low budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I think the most important thing about your website is that you have to keep it pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that when if people want to learn more, have links to, you know, have them, like, go to a paragraph that describes your modality in depth. You know, because some people do want to read a lot about this kind of stuff, but I think a really clean, simple look that isn't too busy, that isn't too intimidating, that doesn't scream with all this new age gobbledygook, you know, is really essential. And also, you know, like these search engines, Google and Yahoo, they want to be able to know where to place our websites.
Sure.
So I think it's really clear the words you use in your website are so important, so that people, you know, when they're seeking you out, they can, you know, Google will know where to place you.
Okay, so you repeat certain words in your website that you want a search engine to pick up?
Yeah, well, I don't even know if repeating is even necessary. I think people who are web designers really know a lot about how to use this code. You know, it's kind of a code thing that Google and the search engines can tap into. And I'm not super well schooled on all of that, but you can find out some more information about that. You know, from anyone who knows a bit about websites. But I do think having a website is really key. Putting it in your ads, you know, don't explain everything in your ads. Just put your website for more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that keeps away all the clutter. Well, this has been really a fountain of knowledge. And, you know, I think we needed a reality check in our community because we do get wrapped up in our ivory tower with, you know, psychics and mysticism. And you brought us back to Earth. So,
oh, good. Well, you know what? It's needed. And it's so... You know, I've really done a lot of research, and I'm seeing firsthand every day at New Renaissance, so I'm really excited to provide a really solid service to my clients.
Well, give us, before you go, one more time, a way for people, small businesses around the country, to contact you for a consultation.
Great. If you can go to my website, which is donleyart.com, D-O-N-L-E-Y. ART.com. From there, you can sign up for my weekly column, where, again, I take these big spiritual topics and I talk about them in plain English. That'll give you some clear ideas of how to start marketing it yourself. There's information on that. There's information on my art. There's information on my workshop. And there's information on how to contact me for consultation.
Wow, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Erin.
Mike, it is so my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, that was Erin Donnelly, a good friend of mine, and I actually work with her at that store, New Renaissance, and I'm the tarot reader there if you're ever in Portland. So anyway, we have a few minutes left, and I kind of want to talk about some of the news of the day, and we'll get into a little bit of ancient mysteries, as I always try to do on each of my programs. The hot new movie on the internet right now is called Zeitgeist. And Zeitgeist is a German word, and it means the spirit of the people, or kind of like the beliefs of a nation or the people. And Zeitgeist is, my understanding is it's downloading 50,000 copies a day. I mean, if that were a book, it would be the number one book in the country right now. This is a huge phenomenon, this movie, and it's right on the front page of BBS Radio. It's right there on the website. Don and I are kind of on the same wavelength here with this. And what it is, it's in three different parts, and it's free. You can, you know, click on zeitgeistmovie.com or go to Google Video, and it's in the top 100. Just type in Zeitgeist, Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T, Zeitgeist movie. And it's in three parts. And the first part's all about religion and our past and how the church has manipulated some of our history. And I don't agree with every single thing in the movie, and you never will 100%, but I like a lot of it. And the second part really gets into 9/11 and kind of the illusion and what actually happened that day that the media did not report, and how in many ways it was a kind of a false flag event to get us into war in the Middle East. And it brings forward a lot of evidence as well. And then the third part of Zeitgeist gets into the federal banking system, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, but the Federal Reserve is a private cartel of banks, and some powerful, wealthy families took over the banking system in 1913, and it really gets into that whole situation and some of the other secret history that really hasn't been revealed to the people, and deeper information than what was taught in our classrooms and schoolrooms and churches as we were growing up. So I highly recommend the Zeitgeist. It's a real phenomenon. Everyone's talking about it. It's quite a buzz. I mean, every year there seems to be one on the internet that takes off. I think last year it was Loose Change. That was the big movie about 9/11 that really opened people's eyes and really blew the lid and brought it into the mainstream. I think Loose Change is like 100 million downloads or something around the world. It's just a phenomenon. But this one, Zeitgeist, has really taken off in the past few months, and I'm pretty tuned into what's going on out there. So please do check it out, watch it for free, and then you can burn it for free too. And they just want to get it out there. The other big story, of course, is Ron Paul. This week he won two straw polls in the presidential race. He was way ahead with like 75% of the vote in New Hampshire and Georgia. So the media is not reporting this. You know, he's a real independent thinker, and he wants to give the power back to the people and take it away from the military-industrial corporate complex. So they are ignoring him at this point. And it's just going to be fascinating to watch how this all plays out. We're in uncharted territory here, folks, because he is huge on the internet. He has a massive following, and the mainstream media is not covering him. Like I said, he's actually winning these polls for president of the Republican side of the party. So Ron Paul's always been more of a libertarian, actually, than a Republican, and is an anti-war candidate, and has some very refreshing ideas, and there's even a Ron Paul radio show on this network. So let's follow that story very closely, and you know, I'm not saying I endorse him yet or anything, it's pretty early, but he certainly has some very important information that he's bringing forward. And lastly, I wanted to talk about Jeff Rentz. That's a lot of times people ask me where I get my cutting-edge news, and I usually go to Rentz.com. It's spelled R-E-N-S-E.com, and Jeff is a reporter, or he was, for NBC, and he realized the corporate networks were not reporting a lot of the key stories, so he put together a website that's become a phenomenon, and Rentz is read by millions every day. We all go there to read. If there's a UFO sighting, you know, something really riveting with great pictures, it's on there. It's on Rentz. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's been a huge grouping of crop circles that are very complex, very elaborate, that have appeared in the last several weeks, and you wouldn't know that unless you went to some alternative media. And he has all the photographs and pictures of these recent crop circles, which are really mind-blowing. You have to see them to believe them. So do check that out. As far as ancient mysteries, I want to wind up tonight talking about the lost map of Atlantis. I'll read you a bit of an article I wrote, and for my new DVD coming out, and then we'll wind up. So the lost map of Atlantis. Is there a lost map of the continent of Atlantis that survives to this day? Most of us who research this material are aware that thousands of treasured documents and maps were burned by religious fanatics when they torched the Alexandrian Library in Greece. However, one well-preserved, treated leather map of Atlantis was transferred to Italy and was not destroyed in this great fire. A German priest named Kircher had access to the Vatican Library in the mid-1600s, and he discovered this ancient map. The map was not Roman, but had been brought over to Italy in the 1st century from Egypt, where it had been excavated. Kircher copied the map precisely, adding only a reference to the New America, of course, the United States. The map depicts Atlantis as a very large island the size of France and Spain combined. It features a tall volcano located in the center, representing Mount Atlas, and six major rivers flowing to the sea. This matches the Greek philosopher Plato's description, which mentioned several large rivers flowing across the land. Plato also mentioned that the island submerged overnight. Curiously, the map is depicted upside down, with south at the top, but this anomaly may offer proof that it is genuine, as Egyptian cartographers created their maps in this manner, as the Nile River flowed from south to north. American Congressman Ignacio Donnelly also researched Atlantis in the late 1800s and produced a similar map depicting a large island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He agreed with Kircher that this was the most likely location of the long-lost continent. There is another interesting footnote to this story involving the famous psychic Edgar Cayce. If you believe the continental drift theory, then it's possible that Atlantis drifted from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to the Caribbean over time. Cayce mentioned in one of his readings that a lost fragment of Atlantis would be found in 1968. Indeed, back in that year of 68, there was an intriguing discovery in the Caribbean called the Bimini Road. Dr. Valentine found what appears to be an ancient wall or road with hundreds of square-cut stones forming a type of road in a shallow part of the ocean. The road was a half mile in length, made of precision-cut limestone. Another researcher, Dr. Little, found a second series of square-cut stones beneath the first road, indicating that it appeared to be man-made. He also found heart-shaped stones with holes drilled in them that appeared to be a type of anchor, indicating the Bimini Road could be an ancient dock or seawall of Atlantis. So that's an article I wrote for my upcoming DVD called Mystery Island, and please check out my DVDs on ancient mysteries at fountainsofyouth.net and click on Odyssey, my show, from the website, and that will take you right to my ancient mysteries DVDs, my whole series with great photographs. So thanks for joining me tonight. It was a packed-in show as usual, and I will come to you next week, Odyssey, and we will talk about ancient and modern mysteries. Thank you and good night.